For the podcast today, I'm bringing you a great chat with Megan Olivi talking about tonight's fights, today's fights, really, if you're on Eastern Standard Time. They're going down during the day. Calvin Kattar versus Max Holloway. This main event is fucking amazing. Then we got Wednesday's fights, which is Neil Magny versus Michael Chiesa. Another amazing main event. And then obviously next Saturday, the return of the king, Conor McGregor, to the octagon. He'll face off against Dustin Poirier, and I cannot wait. I'm going to be there for it. Before we get into this interview, let me tell you guys about 3-Chi, the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. 3-Chi's Delta-8 THC is a federally legal version of THC. It's a more functional alternative to the Delta-9 THC you would find in marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clear head, less anxiety and paranoia, stuff like that. I take this stuff all the time. I mean, I'm not taking it in Abu Dhabi because they got weird laws over there. But in the U.S., when I'm there, I take 3-Chi every single day of my life. I love their gummies. I love their vapes, even the tinctures. I like putting a little in my water in the morning. Gives you an amazing buzz, like I said. It is psychoactive, so be careful with it. Use it responsibly. And if you go to 3chi.com right now, that's the number 3chi.com. You can shop for these vapes, gummies, tinctures, whatever you need. Use the promo code MMB for My Mom's Basement. That's promo code MMB at 3chi.com. You'll receive 5% off your order. And by using that promo code, you're supporting the show directly. So I would really appreciate if you guys did it. I think you'll enjoy the product. I really do. Like I said, use it responsibly, but I haven't really heard from anyone that didn't love 3-Chi. So let's get into this interview with one of my best friends in the world now, Miss Megan Olivi. Welcome back to My Mom's Basement, ladies and gentlemen. It is Robbie Fox, and I am here with one of my favorite people in the world, Miss Megan Olivi. And listen, we're here to talk about the UFC's return to Fight Island. It's all going to be on ABC, which is exciting. We're going to get to that. But I want to start off by wishing a very happy birthday to Mr. Olivi, your father.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. My dad is the best. And this is a big one. He turned 70 today. So
wow, that is a big one.
Yeah, so it's obviously like really hard to not be there with him. But anybody who knows me knows how much I love my dad. And if like you've had the pleasure of meeting my dad, like he's just the best. And so thanks, you made my day.
Absolutely. And I know you, like you said, I've had the pleasure of meeting your father. Great guy. What a wholesome, just sweet man. But for the sake of the podcast, what are your favorite or the best lessons that your father ever imparted onto you?
Oh, that's great. I would say my dad definitely, he taught me to always believe in myself. And just because somebody tells me no, doesn't mean I can't do it. So, you know, whether that was sports or my education or career things, you know, my dad was always like, if you believe in yourself and you work hard enough, you can do it. Like, just because it hasn't been done or somebody's telling you you won't be able to accomplish it doesn't mean anything if you just work for it and continue to believe in yourself. And that's like, you know, there were definitely times and there still are times where I draw upon those words because, you know, not everybody's going to be a cheerleader for you and not everyone's going to believe in you as much as you believe in yourself. And so to have that advice has always been just really awesome. And he's full of sage wisdom, but I would say that's the best.
That's amazing. I love that. And what was your parents' reaction when you first started covering fighting? I don't think I've ever talked to you about this. Like, were they kind of skeptical about it? Were they worried? Were they supportive? What were they like?
Yeah, that's a good question because it was kind of funny. So I come from a family of wrestlers and boxers. So it wasn't that they didn't get it or why I liked it. Like, of course I was going to be attracted to this sport. Like, look at what I was raised on a wrestling mat. My grandfather and great uncle were, you know, professional boxers. So it was something that was natural for me. But at first, you know, I was just finishing up my master's degree when I got this job offer to come to Las Vegas. And I think they were very much like, wait, you went to school for this long. And like, what are you going to do? Like, you don't know anybody in that industry. This is, you know, at the time that was almost 10 years ago, it wasn't, I wouldn't say like as popular.
That's why I was sort of asking because like MMA was completely in a different spot and it kind of sort of bleeds into like what we'll get into with MMA coming on to ABC and how different it is now. But yeah, it was just different back then.
Yeah. And it just wasn't as understood. Like there weren't enough platforms to really talk about our athletes and stuff. And so once they learned a little bit about the sport, like it took them very little time to really embrace it wholeheartedly. Like they were going to support me no matter what I did. But then like they watch every single fight card.
Really?
Oh my God. My parents like watch everything. They watch people's interviews on, you know, Junkie or whatever though. They know everything. They are obsessed with it. It took no time at all for them to like fall in love with the sport as well. But I think when I like first told them, they were like, what?
I love that they watch every card. That's friggin' adorable.
Oh,
my
yeah.
mom watches the cards that I go to see if she could spot me. Which
oh, that's
like, the funniest thing is she hates MMA. Like, she thinks it's too violent. So she, like, can't look, but she'll look at the crowd. It's a whole thing. But speaking
that.
Of MMA changing, coming on to ABC, this is a huge deal. The first time MMA has ever been on ABC, the UFC is going to be kicking it off. If you're listening to this on release day, tonight, Saturday night on ABC with an awesome card. Headlined by Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar. We've got Carlos Condit and Matt Brown, which I love that they're in the co-main event because they're like the old school MMA coming to ABC.
Yes.
It's like finally.
Yes.
Talk to me about this card. Like, what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, I think just the fact that it is on ABC, like you said, because for me, you know me, and you know that I love like being able to tell our athlete stories. And maybe if you have a preconceived notion about our sport or the people who compete inside the octagon, I like to be able to break down those walls. And I think that being on a network like ABC when, you know, your average Joe is at home, maybe not even aware that the card's on, but they're flicking through the channels and they see it and they stop. For me, that means that, like, they're probably going to like what they see. And they're going to get to know whether they have preconceived notions, whatever it may be. Or maybe they just always wanted to watch it. They just didn't know how. Like, this is an opportunity for a lot of people. I think it's great for the people who already know and love the UFC. But I really think to expand the audience and the type of person that watches our sport, I think it's really, really, really important. And then, like you said, I mean, first of all, the co-main event is not getting nearly as much love as
I agree.
Because this is like the third time, what was it, 2013 and 2018 we tried to schedule it. So obviously we've waited. And I just think it's also like between that and then five rounds between the featherweights, you know, Max and Calvin, I just think that there's so much to look forward to. And there's so much for new or semi-new fans to really get hooked on a card like this.
Absolutely. I wanted to bring this up too. I don't think I've ever told you this. Philip Hawes is on this card. Did you know Philip Hawes and I are from the exact same hometown, Little Ferry, New Jersey, and he was friends with my sister in high school?
What?
He's been over my house. Like, he's been at pool parties and stuff at the Fox household. Isn't that nuts? I've never talked to him. I don't know him.
Oh, Phil Hawes is the nicest.
That's what my sister has told me. Like, they weren't super close, but they were in the same circles and stuff. And she's like, oh yeah, everyone knew Phil is just the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, that's actually amazing. And please make sure that you tell him that. Because
I know. I need to interview him eventually and be like, bro, like, we're family. You've been at my house.
That's amazing.
Even Joaquin Buckley's on this card. He just had that crazy knockout, right? So there's the potential for another crazy highlight reel finish on ABC for the new fans there. And what I love about MMA so much, and maybe it's just because I'm so intertwined in the sport, but it feels like the fans are excited about it being on ABC. The fans are like rallying behind it. It's huge now. MMA is, UFC is, it is one of the main sports, but it's
sure.
still like feels underground in a way. It feels like this is our thing and we want you guys to like it.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. And I think that for fans or people who have been watching for a long time, I think it's almost like this, well, yeah, about time, you know, like we're kind of
it
all
is, yeah.
a part of this. And even though none of us, like, it's not like, you know, we have anything to do with it being on ABC or anything like that, but it feels like, yeah, fine, we arrived, we got it. You know, it's like this team effort kind of feeling, because it's like, could you imagine if some of these cards had been on a network like ABC where just millions and millions of people have it right there on their television, whether they have basic cable or not, like they can watch. I mean, it would be mind blowing for some of these events. So I think now everybody's like, wait, do you guys see this? You know, like it's kind of like this. We're in a cool club, but we're going to let you guys in.
Yeah. And this card is just the perfect one for it. Like you said, this is the first time combat sports has even been on ABC since 2000. Boxing back in 2000, which that was crazy to me. When you think about that, like it's been 20 years since boxing has been on ABC.
I saw that stat as well. And at first I was like, well, that can't be right. Cause that's a very long time ago. But I mean, yeah, I guess it is. And I think it speaks volumes that we are what's coming back as a combat sport onto ABC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the UFC. It is the athletes that you know and love from ESPN now that are going to be on ABC. And I think it really says something about how we have portrayed ourselves on ESPN with that partnership as well. I think that everything has gone so well and the fights have been so wonderful and the broadcasts have been so great that I think it only made sense to then expand to ABC.
Absolutely. And that's not the only card that's going down this week. We got a card on Wednesday and we got a card on Saturday. The card on Saturday, everyone knows about Conor McGregor making his return. I'm going crazy. Can't wait. The one on Wednesday, you know what, Megan? I'm not nervous about the fight because I have so much other anxiety in my brain about like the 18 hour flight. I'm not usually nervous about planes, but like 18 hours. Oh my God, that's a long time. What if this is how my anxious brain works? What if somehow COVID got into me like on the flight and then I get to Abu Dhabi and then I get stuck there sick? Like that's my worst fear, if I'm stuck on the other side of the world alone and sick. So I haven't even really had much time to think about the McGregor fight.
Okay, fair.
But the one on Wednesday, Michael Chiesa versus Neil Magny, that's an unbelievable main event right there, which like I love the Wednesday cards. This hasn't happened very often. I think it happened this summer when the Masvidal week, right, when he came in, stepped in on short notice. But it's just like it feels like International Fight Week.
I love a Wednesday card as well. I also freaking love that main event. I think that Michael Chiesa and Neil Magny, neither of them get the credit they are due for their abilities.
Yeah.
So I think the matchup is so great. Like I can't wait to see these two grapple. I am so looking forward to this one. You know, for five rounds, I think this has the potential to be a really interesting welterweight showdown as well. But no, I think a Wednesday card is so great. And like, part of me is like, man, I wish we did all Wednesdays and Saturdays. And that would be really hard for
me. It'd be a lot, yeah.
Work all these shows. But it does feel like it gives people a little bit more to look forward to every week. Like, I don't know. It does feel like a really nice break in the middle of the week. And so I think this card is great. And I love that we are doing three cards in 1 week because – it is special when Conor fights, and it is a special way to kick off 2021. So I think like having that Wednesday card when there isn't really necessarily anything else like that major going on, I think it's perfect.
I definitely want to link up with Michael Chiesa. I saw him tweeting about his Mario Kart skills, and I brought my Nintendo Switch. So I'm like, maybe I'll get him on the Rainbow Road or whatever.
That's great. I'm sure he would love that.
Before we get into Saturday, I want to talk about McGregor and all that. Let's talk about just tips that you have for me going to Fight Island. You've been there. We talked a little bit about this off air, right?
Yes.
What would you suggest as far as like, hey, I'm going to Fight Island. I've never been outside of the country before. What are the things I got to know?
Okay. Well, my biggest suggestion to you, which is one I like kept texting you, was like snacks, pack your snacks. Because you do a quarantine in your room. And then also, it's just not, because we're in a bubble, there's just not like stores you can walk to and get what you maybe want or need. So anything you think you're going to want to like munch on or any sort of toiletries you think you're going to need.
My snacks, you want to hear what I got? I got chocolates, which is great. Yeah. You know, no doubt Dove chocolate. Love Dove milk chocolate. Okay. I've got Goldfish, huge bag of Goldfish. I've got pretzel chips, the little thin pretzel chips. Oh yeah. I've got Sweet Tart ropes. If I'm looking for something a little something gummy. I think I have more in my bag too, even. I brought a bunch. I definitely took that advice. That snack's covered. Boom. Check.
I love it. And then the other thing really is like maybe melatonin because sleep schedules are wild over there.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about the sleep schedule. The fights are still going down like catering to people in the U.S. So fights are going down at like 5 a.m., right?
Well, so sort of. The first two cards are more on Abu Dhabi local time. And then the last card will be a North American pay-per-view time. So yes, for the card you are going to work, which is the Conor card, you would essentially be best off if you continued to stay on your regular time zone. If you just acted like you were at home and just stayed that way.
Weird is that going to be, man?
It's very challenging. We do our best to like make sure weigh-ins or press conferences, they're kind of formulated at a time where you would be awake. But I would say for me, that's like my biggest struggle every time. I can work if I'm hungry or if I'm stressed. I love high pressure. But if I haven't slept well, like for that week, it's sometimes hard for my brain and mouth to like work together.
I definitely am one of those people as well. I need my sleep. Absolutely need it. So that'll be big. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep on the plane. I have no idea. I usually can't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a great plane sleeper, but like, I think going there will be like closer to 15 hours. And so normally we get like some rest. But like melatonin gives me crazy nightmares now.
Me too. I can't do melatonin.
Me neither. So now I just do like magnesium, which I don't know, placebo probably.
If you want to hear something crazy? This is so like off topic, but I had a nightmare last night that Lene texted me and said that you're COVID positive. And then I woke up like, oh my God, I can't go. And then I checked my text right away. I was like, oh, thank God. She didn't actually text me.
I don't know if Lene wouldn't text you.
So. Yeah, true. Yeah. She wouldn't be the one to break that news to me. Definitely not. All right. Let's talk about Saturday. McGregor's making his return. I'm stoked for it. I almost wasn't going to go. I didn't have a passport. The UFC stepped in. They helped me. I can't wait for this. Not only because it's a McGregor fight, not only because I've wanted the Poirier rematch forever since he's become, you know, a changed fighter at 155, but because a crowd's going to be there. It's going to be a limited crowd, but I've seen pictures of the arena, the new Etihad Arena, right? It looks awesome. And just like thinking about McGregor walking out to the Foggy Dew with a crowd actually making noise behind it, man, we're going to be back to life for a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's the really special part about Fight Island is it brings, like, we're bringing fans back for this one, but for those of us who work the events as well, it does sort of, like, bring you back to how life was pre-COVID. You know, you're in this working environment where everyone's tested a million times, you feel very safe. So I think having him at this brand new venue with fans inside, and again, I agree with you with this rematch, like, I was there for the first one. I mean, I just found a video of us doing media day together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's hilarious. I'm going to post it next week. But it's just, I think it is a really special matchup. And you know what I like about it? I like how much, like, they have evolved as, like, human beings and fathers and really, like, obviously incredibly talented athletes and mixed martial artists. But also just, like, they have a different type of relationship than they did that first fight. And so I'm interested to see, like, how it plays out, knowing, like, they don't hate each other this time. There's not as much animosity. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of different dynamics going into this.
Some of the most famous Conor quotes of all time came from that Poirier build. And I think it was the one you did where it was you had them sitting on either side of you on a stage, right? You were sitting on a chair or something. And was Jones there? Was Jones on that card too?
Jones and Cormier. Yeah.
Jones and Cormier were there. I've seen that video 1,000 times as a Conor fan because it's like some of the funniest quotes ever come from that. And like you said, now it's completely different. Conor's been pretty respectful. I mean, he still made his prediction. He said, I'm going to knock him out inside 60 seconds, which it wouldn't be a McGregor fight if he didn't give us a Mystic Mac prediction. But he's definitely been way more respectful than last time. Last time, they were at each other's throats. Dustin said he's never hated anyone more than he hated McGregor.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, last time it was so tense. And I think they were like maybe the third fight on the main card.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just so tense. And I remember... You know, I knew Conor then. I knew Dustin a lot better because of WC. So I didn't really, I mean, Conor and I had a great working relationship by that point, but I really didn't know him that well. And so at first, like when I did that Q&A on the stage and stuff, and then fight week, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? You're nervous. Somebody's going to like throw a punch. And then what am I going to do in the middle of it?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's just kind of like all these things. But then afterwards, the thing that really struck me, and I feel like, you know, there were a couple of moments in my working relationship with Conor that really have stood out to me. But one of them was how just sort of humbled he was after he beat Dustin. Like, you know, yes, he says things on camera and stuff, and that's great. And it's part of who he is, and it's made him who he is, especially with a performance like that. But I just remember him being very, very, very humble after that win and just very, like, chill and down to earth and, you know, asking me about Joe and stuff. And so I remember being like, oh, okay, he like gets how this works, because some people are that way and then some people aren't. And I felt like he really understood it. And to me, I thought that was like a huge step forward for him, where it's like, oh, he can say all of these things and get riled up, still be focused enough to have the performance like he just had, and then really understand that, yeah, that was a massive win and he did the work to beat a guy like Dustin Poirier, which is no small feat. So, you know, I think it'll just be interesting to kind of just see how they've both grown. I mean, if it's a minute, who knows what we'll see. But more than that, I'm very interested just to see the type of mixed martial artists they are now.
I'd like it to be another minute fight. It's low stress for me, you know, don't have to wait a long time to see a finish. So that would be nice.
I hear you.
What has been on the television in the Benny Levy household recently? I love following Joe's stories, all the movies he watches every month. Yeah. I send him recommendations like, oh, you guys watch this, you watch that. What have you guys been watching recently?
Okay, well, we did the Oceans trilogy.
Oh, yeah. You had never seen that, right?
No, neither had he. I loved them. He was, like, cool with them, but I loved them. I introduced him to Iron Man and Wonder Woman.
Nice.
Yes. And then we watched The Undoing. Did you watch that?
Yes, I've watched the whole thing. I loved it. Yeah.
Okay. I loved it too. Like so much. And then we watched The Flight Attendant, which I really liked as well.
I watched that whole show as well.
Yeah. So those were the series we watched. Right now I am rewatching Schitt's Creek because I have not yet watched season 6 because I don't want it to end. So I'm like, so I'm like rewatching, but making him watch it with me this time. And so, yeah, that's sort of what's been on. It's definitely like, there's so much that comes out on all these different platforms that sometimes it takes us like 2 hours to pick something.
Oh, I'm the same way. Scroll and scroll.
And I'm like, just pick something. So, yeah. So that's.
And the worst is you have like, obviously everyone's got HBO. Everyone's got Netflix. Everyone's got Hulu. So it's like, I can't find anything on Netflix. Let's try Hulu. I can't find anything. Let's go back to Netflix. Is there anything?
Yes.
I'm the same exact way.
So like last night we watched Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Yeah, and so we had never seen that one. And it was only because it, like, came up. I'm like, oh, you haven't seen it? Okay, you like Leonardo DiCaprio? Okay, let's just watch this because I can't scroll any longer. Like, and it's done. So, yeah, that's kind of what's been on in our household. But I do have exciting news for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Is that we are launching a podcast.
You guys together?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so it actually will come out, I believe, next week. We'll launch our first couple of episodes. And it just reminded me because like it's At Home with Ben Levy. And all we do is talk about the things we watch anyway. So
I love that. I will be a weekly listener. I promise you that. And you've got a podcast now yourself, Becoming a Fighter, with Ian Heinisch on the first episode. Yes. Incredible story there. People should check that out because, like you said, I think you're definitely – more than anything, best at telling the fighters' stories, telling their real, actual stories, and getting to do that in a long-form way where it's not just a spot. Really, really cool, and you're so great at it.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I'm honored to be able to finally do that. It's a project that I have really wanted to do for a while now. You know, I kind of played with the idea of should it be on camera, should it be a podcast? But with the way the world kind of is turning and people really tuning into podcasts now and with the ease, you can listen to them in your car, you don't have to be in front of a screen. You know, it was something I really wanted to do. And to have Ian and Rose share their stories, there'll be new episodes starting in February of 2021. But it's incredible. I mean, listen, I knew Ian's story. I read the very long articles and I've talked to him himself about it. But to hear him kind of just explain it all. I mean, and there was so much we had to cut out just for time where you're like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, for Rose Namajunas, her story, I know oftentimes we think we know, but like her school was across the street from Jeffrey Dahmer's house. Like what? You know what I mean? And so we know who they are. For me, and I think obviously being married to Joe, like I want you guys to know who he is inside the octagon and know, you know, what a talented and incredible fighter he is. But it's also just as important to represent the human beings in my eyes. And like, really, how did they get there? Like, this isn't necessarily a normal job for somebody, you know what I mean? No. So it's like, what propelled them there? And I think there's a lot to be learned no matter where you are in life or what your role is or how old you are. It's like, man, like the things Ian Heinisch went through to get to where he is, like, I think that's a really telling thing. And I think there's something that anyone can learn, whether you know anything about fighting or not.
Yeah. And there's something about your just dynamic with fighters. And it might be because you're married to Joe and they understand that you understand the game so well. Yeah. And you've been in the UFC for so long and you've been covering the sport for so long that there's just a comfortability that comes with it where I feel like fighters are more willing to open up to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, I think for me, it's important to make sure they know, like, I want them to say whatever they want to say. I don't have a preconceived thing. I hope their answer is, you know, no, here's the salt. I'm like the pitcher in Home Run Derby. Like, I'm going to throw you. I'm going to lob you.
Man, I love that analogy. I'm going to steal that. I'm absolutely stealing that one day.
Right?
My podcast, like, people will always give me shit for, oh, my God, you're kissing Dana's ass. You're kissing everyone's ass. If you listen to all of my interviews, they're all pretty much the same style. I want people to feel as comfortable as possible on the show. I don't want any animosity. I don't want to get into an argument. I don't want a gotcha. That's just not me. It's like, I don't want to do that.
Exactly. And the thing is there, that isn't lacking in the coverage our athletes receive. There is that all the time. But I don't want to add to that because I also see everybody, whether they win or lose, they come past me that night. And I want them to feel like they can cry on my shoulder if they've lost, which happens all the time.
Yeah.
And I want them to like want to celebrate with me that they won, you know, backstage that we're doing an interview. So I just think it's so important to give everyone just a platform to be themselves. And, you know, I always approach it as if I don't know anything about the sport and I'm a first time viewer at home. Like, what do I need to hear about these people to care? And so while there is so much I can always choose from, and it's challenging to narrow it down, like that's the approach I take. And like, they're human beings. Like, we see them on fight week, they're cutting weight. So it's hard. They're stressed out. There's so much going on. Like, let's see them the other like 51 weeks of the year when like they are a whole human being, you know, that deserves to get that representation out there as well.
I've definitely taken inspiration from that. You trying to tell their stories and you even like giving me advice on how to interview people. Because for me, like Barstool, I'm mostly appealing to the casual fan. I'm mostly appealing to the people that I'm trying to get into MMA. And for like that, those personal stories are exactly what hooks people.
Yeah. Or like, and that's the thing is like, if somebody can hear like, wait, Ian Heinisch was in a Spanish prison for 3 years and then he went to Rikers. Like what? Like, no way that happened. Like, that's mind-blowing. If there's any other athlete in any other sport, like, that is a story, right? People are going to pay attention, whether it's a tennis player and they don't watch it, whatever. So I think that is part of it. It's part of the appeal. And then once somebody starts seeing our sport, like, they love it. You know what
totally.
I mean? It's not like they're going to run away. They're going to run away like, oh, I'm never watching UFC. Like, it is the thing where I'm in and now I'm in for life.
I say it's like the closest thing to watching superheroes. It's like you're literally watching the best of the best fighting. It's like watching action scenes take place right in front of you. Megan, this has been
really
awesome. Make sure you look out for Megan's podcasts, plural. Unbelievable. Look at you over there. And hopefully I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Safe travels.